Good morning, Bookers. Welcome back to 10 Minutes of Tanya. We're grateful to our generous sponsors, Marilyn and Michael Fedak, for our 10 Minutes of Tanya. Please help yourself in the Reb Shaila corner to some coffee, slushies, and the like. We are on Perek Yud Beis of Sefer Tanya. We've been learning all about the Beinoni. The Tanya, based on the Gemara, characterizes Jewish people, fall into five categories. The Tzaddik, Tov Lo Tzaddik Varalo, the two types of Tzaddik, higher and lower Tzaddik, two types of Rasha, Rasha Varalo, Rasha Vatovlo, and the Beinoni. The Beinoni is the intermediary. The Beinoni is the in-betweener. And the Alter Rebbe, the Baal HaTanya, has been describing, defining the Beinoni, this in-betweener, as an individual who on the outside looks exactly like the Tzaddik, makes all the right choices, lives exactly the right lifestyle and the right behavior. But internally, the internal world is altogether different. Whereas the Tzaddikim, the two types of Tzaddik, not only do the right thing on the outside, but also on the inside, the animal soul is no longer an impulse, it's no longer a source of influence. For the Beinoni, they live still with that influence. Or put a little bit differently, the Beinoni, externally, superficially, when you look at them and their lifestyle on the outside, they're doing all the right thing, because in each moment of tension, of conflict, in each battle, they're winning. Don't eat, don't look, don't say, don't go, don't do. The Beinoni is winning. The Beinoni is winning, almost winning so much they're sick and tired of winning. They're winning. They're defeating the impulse, the animal soul, but it's still a battle. There's still a battle. There's still a debate. There's still a conversation. There's still a tension. There's still a conflict, so much so that the Beinoni needs to muster up that energy, that courage, that clarity, that conviction in order to battle, in order to defeat that voice. We're in the middle of Perek Yud Beis. Because for the Beinoni, the animal soul's emotional deep core of klipa, which is in the heart of the left chamber, again, the Alter Rebbe described where the impulses are, the good, the bad, the left chamber, the right chamber of the heart. Did he mean it literally, anatomically? Did he mean it metaphorically, the relationship of the brain, the head versus the heart? But the animal soul is still beating in the left chamber of the heart. It's not been displaced. It's not been purged. It's not been eliminated. That animal soul still burns. The animal soul is still acutely aware of the pleasures of this world. And the animal soul is arguing and fighting for it, is trying to lure the Beinoni into it. And where do you see this, says the Alter Rebbe? You see this in davening. Because achar tefillah, after tefillah, she'ein rish be'esha, avas Hashem be'zgalus libo b'chala yemani. So during davening, even the Beinoni, hopefully at shul, you hear the blowing of the shofar, you say, Shema Shemona Esrei, person who's connected and lost in their davening. So the godly soul is connecting to its source, God. And we feel our best. And when you're in shul, we're not distracted. We're not tempted to look at or say or think or go or do. We're connected to the words, hopefully, that we're saying. We feel enveloped in the hug of the talis we're wearing. And we feel strapped and bound and connected through the tefillin, the bias, the umbilical cord to our source, to Hashem. So even the Beinoni is in a good place and thinking good thoughts. And the Beinoni is expressing and nourishing and making contact with that godly soul. But what happens achra tefillah? You wrap up the tefillin, you fold the talis, you put them away, and even before you're out of shul, on the way out, you're already talking about a business deal and an opportunity. Someone tells you, did you check out this new Netflix series? And someone has some good juicy lashon hara on the way out. When the fiery flaming love for Hashem is no longer awakened in the heart in the right chamber, then that dormant klipa on the left side, it was silenced, but it reawakens. During davening, we successfully silence. During davening, those fantasy, temptation, that impulse, it's not there because we're occupied and preoccupied with something good called tefillah. But what happens? What happens after we're done davening? When we close the sitter, we close the tilim, we take off the talis, we take off the tefillin, then all of a sudden that animal soul comes roaring back. It had been silenced. It had been starved. And now has an appetite. And now has much to say. It's reawakened. Why? Because for the Beinoni, it was never purged. It was never eliminated. For the Beinoni, it was silenced successfully, but it's still there. It's dormant, and it comes roaring and raging back. That doesn't mean the Beinoni's divine soul doesn't retain some of what it accomplished during tefillah. The Beinoni's davening was real. It was authentic. It transformed. Hopefully, it lasts. It lasts. But it means that after davening, it comes back. Kim tocho ratzufa hava mesuseres. Because after tefillah, during the rest of the day, the Beinoni's heart is Tocho Ratzuf Ahava, Mr. Teres. Where's that language? Tocho Ratzuf Ahava. Yishai Ribo is coming the Shabbos. It's a beautiful Yishai Ribo song. He didn't write the words. Tocho Ratzuf Ahava is a pasuk in the third parak of Shir HaShirim. It's a gavaldic song. But Shlomo HaMelech wrote the original version. It comes from Shir HaShirim. Inlaid inside with love, but misuteres. But it's an ava misuteres. Ava misuteres means it's a dormant love. It's a hidden love. It's a concealed love. She ava hativis shabanefesh elokis, kamoshiris barlakam, the innate love of the divine soul, which everyone naturally experiences. The Alter Rebbe has a premise, which is that in every Yid and every Jew, there is a natural love of Hashem. Sometimes that natural love is buried deep inside. Sometimes there are layers and layers and layers on top of it. So much so it's hard to find, and it's hard to expose, and it's hard to express. But it's in there, deep inside for everyone, and deep inside for all. Jews are redeemable, and Jews we have hope, and Jews we have faith. And inside every Jew is a pure heart, and is a love. For some it's an ava misuteres. It's a dormant love, it's a hidden love, it's an innate love. For others it's on the surface, it's expressed, and you can see it, and you can perceive it. And you experience it, and for others, you got to dig deep in order to be able to find it. But every divine soul possesses this natural love for Hashem, sometimes obscured and hidden. Ego is the enemy. Ego gets in the way. Ego buries it deeper, because ego and Elokus are like oil and water. They don't mix. They don't coexist. So if ego is at the surface, then the Elokus, then the godly soul is buried deeper. And if there is no ego, then the ego, then the godliness can rise to the surface and express itself there. The Azai Yachol Yos Sichlos Aksia Rabbi's Galus Liba B'chol Asmali. And then after prayer, when the more intense love subsides, it becomes possible for the stupidity of the fool and the evil of the animal soul to be expressed in the left chamber of the heart. During davening, I don't know if you ever had this experience. During davening, you're so moved, you're so connected, you're so transformed that you make all kinds of promises and pledges. I'll never speak Lashon Hara again. I'll never look at the wrong thing again. I'll never be late again. I'll never talk during davening again. I'll never be impatient again. I'll never be angry again. I'll never be jealous again. And it doesn't take 2 minutes, 5 minutes. You're out of shul and you revert back. That dormant animal soul, that impulse, that drive, that temptation, it captures you. The fool, the evil of the animal soul and the stupidity of the fool, they're expressed. They're right back. Because when we're davening, we're in the next world. When we're davening, we're transported to another place. But when we close that sitter, we come back into this world with all its temptation, all its desire, all its challenge, all its confusion. And that's not a fair fight. It's hard to battle in that world. And often we revert back. And the animal soul, if it's still there, and the animal soul, if it's still fighting, is going to battle. And it's going to try to capture us. Kilo lo hispala klal. It'll be like we never davened at all. That's why from shacharis, you have to have a mincha. From mincha, you have to have a marav. And marav, at the end of the day, started again the next day with a shacharis. Because it grounds us, it calibrates us. It's a compass. The tefillah is the anchor. The anchor, it grounds us, it reminds us who we are, who we want to be, a best and better version of ourselves. And then unfortunately, we're challenged and we often win, we don't always. And so davening comes us back, brings us back, and it's another anchor and it grounds us. But all of this is the roller coaster life of the Beinoni, the ups and downs. The tzaddik, the high, the tzaddik achieves during tefillah sticks with him or her the rest of the day, because they don't struggle, they don't battle. There is no ego, there is no this world, there is no temptation. They not only make the right choices, but in their inner world, they're not even having a difficult conversation as opposed to the Beinoni. What the rest of this parak is going to be about is the Alter Rebbe's suggestions, his formula. So halavai we're Beinonim. In some way, and to some degree, the Beinoni is even higher than the Tzaddik. The tzaddik doesn't battle, it's no big deal to be perfect. If you're the goody two-shoes and everything comes easy, and you're not even tempted by the bad, so it's not impressive that you're good. But if you're tempted by the bad, if you have that impulse and that urge, and you nevertheless always make the right choices, now that's impressive. So in some ways, the Beinoni is even higher than the tzaddik. But there's an expression, the Alter Rebbe himself, halavai Beinoni, halavai Beinoni. Halavai Beinoni, halavai we can get to the level of the Beinoni, who on the outside at least is doing all the right things. But how do we get there? If in the inner world there's still a battle and still the struggle, how do we get there? Shebedavar isa'ina ola b'dayta lasas ha'isar b'po'a mamash. The Beinoni wins or succeeds based on mind control. the Beinoni has to work not in the arena of action, because there they'll lose. The immediate gratification and the immediate pleasure, it's too good. So if the Beinoni is trying to win in the world on the battlefield of action, it's over. The Beinoni has to control the mind, has to be disciplined and regulate from the head. It doesn't cross his mind to actually violate. Chas v'shalom. They remain thoughts of sin, which are worse than sinning itself. The Gemara in Yuma, Daf Chav Tes tells us that hirhurei avera, fantasizing, picturing, longing, craving, desiring, imagining, is all worse than doing the action. Because the action is an impulse. The action is a reaction to that temptation. But to dwell and marinate and stew in the thought, in the fantasy, in many ways, that's worse than the act. So the Beinoni can't stop thoughts of mistakes from popping in his mind, even though the notion of transgression is far from him. He'll never indulge, he'll never get in, he'll never do it, but he can't stop thinking about it. She can't stop fantasizing about it. And even when such thoughts do arise, so the Beinoni is successful because the Beinoni pushes them away. These thoughts can cross his mind, and that becomes challenging. You're trying to daven, but it pops in. You're trying to do chesed, it pops in. Trying to live your life, you're having food, trying to have a conversation, and these thoughts, you're trying to listen to a Tanya Shir, but the impulse is getting you to eat or say or look at or go or watch or do. And he quotes the Gemara in Baba Basra and Daf Kuf Semach Dalet that tells us there are three averos that everyone does every day. Three things nobody's spared from. And the Gemara is a discussion. Mamish, literally you do it? Not exactly, but some form of something adjacent to them, we all do. And then the Alter Rebbe quotes two of them. Hirhure Avera ve'iyun tefila. One is Hirhure Avera. Nobody can say they got through the entire day and didn't have one thought. Doesn't mean they acted on the thought. But even the thought itself is dangerous and destructive. And nobody can say that they made it through an entire day unless they were comatose, and even then, when they wake up, maybe they had a dream. But nobody can say they made it through an entire day and didn't have one thought. One fantasy, one idea, one temptation, one craving for something they shouldn't do. That's Hirhure Avera. And number two is Iyun Tefila. Iyun Tefila, Rashi Tosfos has different explanations. Doesn't mean there's nobody who can say they made it from the beginning of davening all the way to the end and they weren't distracted for one moment. Everybody's distracted. Or according to Tosfos, they weren't overly confident. Now there's a third. The Alter Rebbe just quotes the two, even though he acknowledges Gimel Averos, Ein Adam Nitzol. There are three. What's the third? Lashon Hara. Gemara says Lashon Hara, Avak Lashon Hara. Borderline Lashon Hara. Why didn't the Alter Rebbe quote this? Chaim Miller explains, because it's an activity of speech, a faculty over which the Beinoni has indeed achieved full mastery. The other two are internal. In the internal world, the Beinoni is still struggling. But Lashon Hara is in the world of action, the external world, not the internal world. In the external world, the Beinoni never gives in, never loses. So that's why the Alter Rebbe only quotes two out of the three. But the point is that we all struggle. We all struggle. So what we'll pick up with next time is how can the Beinoni successfully deflect all these negative urges? How? Halavai, we're Beinoni. Halavai. Halavai on the outside, we're doing everything right and we're only battling on the inside. But we are battling on the inside. So how, if you're still battling on the inside, can you win the battle so on the outside we're doing what's right? And not only on the outside doing what's right, try to get to a point that we purge and eliminate even that internal struggle. And what we'll pick up is some excellent, of course, sage advice from the Alter Rebbe. We'll pick up with next time.